Today's daf is daf Lamed Tes. So we got to the bottom of Lamed Ches, and we got to the really top of Lamed Tes, but let's again continue from Lamed Ches and Beis. The Gemara six lines up says Amar Rava, Amar Abai rather. So Abai says, Bal Leo Mesa Pater. So if it's a case of Onis Mefater, and before collecting the Knas, she dies, the halacha is Pater. The man is Pater from paying the Knas. Shenemar Venoson Lavi Hanara Lo Lavi Mesa. Pasuk says you have to pay the money to the father of the Nara, not to the father of she who has passed away, who she who died. So therefore, your Pater in this case, based on Exer Shekasef. So Gemara wanted to know, Milsu the Pshitulei the Bai, something that was so clear to Bai. Bai said it was Pasha, that if she dies before the Knas is paid, it's Pater that he's exempt from paying the Knas. So something that's so obvious to Bai, Mibai the Rava. Rava had a Shaila about this, he had a Suffolk. What did Rava say? Rava said, the Bai Rava Yesh Beger Bekever, Oain Beger Bekever. He wanted to know whether or not it's possible, however that means, if she could mature in the kever after she dies, if there's such a possibility of her, you know, not obviously she's not going to age, she's not going to mature, but maybe her days still count in terms of years, that from the day of her birthday, she's going to become over the age of 12 and a half. So that's the Shiloh that Rava had. And then Mark explains, Yesh beger bekever vidbuna have, oduma ein beger bekever vidavia have. So the halacha is that if she's a, there's no baga, she's only a nara at the time, so her father gets all the zechuyos, all the shvach nara goes to her father. But if she becomes mature, she becomes a bogeris while in the kever, so now her father has no longer control of her anymore, so then her son would be yorish the knas. That's the shayla.
Where the son came from?
So that's what I was about to ask, but assuming she has a son. She has a son, right now we're having a son.
But it wasn't speaking about Yudula.
The right, so let's say it's a great question. I guess you have to be saying it's a son from this case of onus mefater. No, there's onus. So maybe she died. So the Gemara is going to ask all these questions. How could she have a child? So let's say doing the math. So let's say she was a nara, and then 6 months later the child is born, but the money has not been collected yet. So then the son is alive, and he's not old enough, but he's still alive. Then she dies, and then she becomes a Bulgaris. Can that son collect the Knas?
What
did he say? Okay. So that's the case. Again, I think it's a great question. It has to be a situation where the son was from this case, this Bia itself, because we're talking about a Basula here. So Gemara says, wait a second. Mima Abra, is she able to become pregnant in this case? Hatani, the Brisa tells Hatani Rav Bibi Kamei the Rav Nachman Shalosh Nashim Misham Shus B'Moch, the three individuals who use a moch, so they can become pregnant. Who are these women? Elohein Kitana Muberes Uminika, a girl under the age of 12, a pregnant lady, and a woman who is nursing. Why? Kitana Shem Tisaber V'Tomas, because a Kitana she might become pregnant, then she'll die. Muberes Shem Tasa Ubra Sandal. If she's pregnant, they're concerned that if another child, another fetus is created, that's going to ruin the already pre-existing fetus. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, interesting. First of all, look at Rashi two lines down. He says, "Meshamshes b'moch muter lahen l'shamish b'moch ve'enon k'mashchisos zera." That is a moch. It's not viewed as destroying the zera, which of course is normally aser. I'm not sure why Rashi explains that way. I thought it is Misham Ches Zerah, just a heter in terms of Pikuach Nefesh and other reasons. But Rashi seems to say it's not considered Hashchas Zerah. Is it because it's because Pikuach Nefesh comes in, or that's a type of contraception that's not considered Mashchis Zerah? Okay, I'm not sure. Then the next Rashi says, Shema Yase Ubra Sandal. What does that mean? Again, if she's pregnant already, we allow her to use a moch, because we're concerned that if she becomes pregnant a second time, even though I think it's biologically it's not possible to happen anymore, but if that were to happen, Shim Tisaber, Rashi explains, Uber Sheni, Po Ches Hasheni Es Tsuras Harishon, it's going to lessen, it's going to squash or something to the Tsuras Harishon, Vidom Milisando Shudag Shebiyam. It's going to become a flat type of fish, what's called a sandal. I'm not sure which type of fish it refers to, but that's the reason why Muberis could use a moch. Then the Gemara explains, what about a menika? Why can a menika, a woman who's nursing, use a moch? Shema tigmal esbena, because she might have to wean the child. Rashi explains, Shema tigmal esbena, mibnei shachalv neakar, ki shemisaberes, when the person comes pregnant, the milk is removed from her, it stops coming in. Veino tov lionek, it's no longer good for the infant who's nursing. The titzarech lahatiko mishedayim v'yamos, and we have to remove the child, wean the child much earlier than it has to be, and that's going to be quite dangerous for the child to be weaned very young. So for those reasons, these three individuals may use a moch. Then the
one of the three, she's nara.
Right, so let's go a little further. Very good. So let's finish the brayso, and then we'll figure out what's going on here. Then the Gemara says, "Ve'eze hi ketana." What's the ketana? Mibas achas reishon of yom echad ad shemes reishon of yom echad. From the age 11 to 12, she's a ketana. Pachlus mikan, less than this. V'yesa akan mishameshes kedarcha v'holechas divrei Rabbi Meir. Less than 11, it's permitted, and above the age of 12, it's permitted also. Sorry, less than 11, you cannot use a moch. Above 12, you can't use a moch either. Only during the year of 11 to 12.
When it was written?
What, the Gemara?
Yeah.
It was right, 6th century, 500, in the 500s or so. That's when it was finalized. I mean, the Mishnah was finalized the year 200 or so, 210 or so. So over those 200 years, things were put together. It's completely codified in 500 something, I think. So then the Gemara says, Pachas Mikan, Rashi rather says, less than 11, according to Rabbi Meir, less than 11, she's not allowed to use a moch. Mibas achasre shana mishameshes kedarka lefishalo tisaber. A ketana cannot become pregnant. And the Yesal Kain, Rashi says, more than this, al bas shemesre, above the age of 12, shana mishameshes kedarka, she has to have a normal bia, shim tisaber lo tamas. If she becomes pregnant, it's not going to kill her. She's strong enough, she's more mature enough to hold the child. Alma. So we see from here, under the age of 11, a katana. Again, you're right. So I said before, it must be a situation. It's a good question you had. I assumed he was talking about. Here, let's backtrack. Forget your question first. The Gemara assumes, how does she have a child? She has a child because she had a child from a previous situation. When she was under the age of 11, she was a katana. If she became pregnant, had a child. Now she was nensa. And Mefuta, and the Knas is supposed to go to their father. She dies, and then she becomes a Bulgaris in the Kever. So since she's Bulgaris, the father loses the bilis of her, and it goes to the child. So that's what the Gemara is talking about right now. It's under the age of 11 where we assume she became pregnant and had a child. You're saying, wait a second, are we talking about Nara Basula here? So how is it possible she had a child when she was 11?
And she must use a moch. So, oh no, it's below.
Is she, right? She doesn't have to use a moch.
Before 11.
Great question.
At least she's not three.
This is true. But that's a great question. How could the Gemara assume that she had a child under the age of 11? Because Nara Basula are talking about a Basula. Oof, a little bit younger game.
That's it for this month. She was two.
At the end of the day, Gemara is going to give another answer. This could have been, maybe what you could say
it
is.
Doesn't make sense, the whole thing.
You
did it in such a way that it didn't break the Besulim.
Maybe. Is it possible to?
Yeah.
The Derech Ataya. Shmuel was a bucking net.
No,
it says a Bia. You don't, you know, it's not going to be Masalik like the Besulim, but maybe you could become pregnant still. It's possible that this was also a question. The Gemara could have asked. The Gemara is going to retract and give another explanation. It's possible this was also a problem the Gemara in theory could have had, but it only asked one of the two questions. We have that sometimes.
Let's go forward.
There, by the way, there is interesting Tosas on top here. Tosas Dibur Maschil Shalosh Noshim Mishamshes B'moch. He talks about other contraceptions that can, you know, how we understand these things. But I don't think we're going to have the time for this. Actually, pretty interesting. I didn't look it over, though. Okay. So if we have time, maybe we'll come back, but I doubt we will. Fine. So that's the Shaila. How is it possible that this woman who was Nensa and died, how is it possible she has a child? Because under the age of 11, she doesn't become pregnant. So then just continue the Brisa. That's all according to Rabbi Meir. Chachamim omrim achazu v'achazu mishameshes kedarka v'holechas u'mishamam yirachmu. Chachamim say, regardless of the age, regardless of the situation, if she's pregnant, if she's a nursing, if she's a ketana, all situations, she should have regular bia. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have mercy on her. Shenem, Mishum, Shenem, Arshom, Pisam, Hashem. And this is normally how we pass, and this is one of the big the Gemaras I quote, appears here in Nida, about very much against contraception, depending what type of contraception it is. But this is what they say, you know, just have Tashmish Derech Bia, and then everything else is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of. Now, V'chi Tema, if that's the case, Dabra, Kishihinara, Volida Kishinara, maybe you're going to say, no, it's a situation where she's over the age of 12. So again, the halachas are, under the age of 12, she's a katana. Above the age of 12 to 12 and a half, she's a nara. 12 and a half above, she's a bogera. So maybe when she was 12, when she's a nara, so above the age of 12, we said there's no longer a moch, and that's when she's called a nara. That's when she became pregnant, and then the child was born 6 months later before she became a bogeris. Maybe that's the situation.
Didn't it say before, from 11 in one day to 12 in one day, is nara?
No, I don't think.
I just read it, so.
Yeah? 11 to 12.
11 one day to 12 in one day.
That's a katana. Katana is under the age of 12. Now, 11 to 12 is a katana who can become pregnant, and it's dangerous for her. Under the age of 11, we assume she can't become pregnant. 11 to 12 is a katana who can become pregnant, but dangerous. 12 to 12 and a half is an ara. 12 and a half and above is a gedola or a bogeris. So, if you're going to tell me, if you're going to suggest, no, chitema de abra b'kishinara, says the Gemara, when she's a nara, she became pregnant, which is something that's possible. Volida kishinara, and she gave birth when she was still nara. U'b'shisa yircha mikayalda. Could a woman become pregnant and give birth in 6 months? V'ha'ama Shmuel ein ben naras l'bagos el shisha chadashim. And we also know from Shmuel that naras only lasts for 6 months. And we know also biologically it's impossible to give birth to a six-month baby, says the Gemara. So how do we understand the Gemara? How is it possible that this lady had a child? Maybe what Shmuel means when there's 6 months, he means there's at least 6 months of Naros, but sometimes 6 months could go on to 9 months. Naros could last for longer, depending on how she matures. Of course, it can't be. Because Ella Kamar, it says Ella. Ella is only. It's only 6 months, regardless of her maturity level. It lasts from 12 years old to 12 and a half, and then it's over, regardless. So it's no less and no more than 6 months. So again, how is it possible that she had a child? So Gemara says, Ella, Hachi, Kamibailin. So the question was as follows. You're right. There was no child in the picture. It was impossible for her to have a situation of a child. What was the question going back to Rava? What was Rava's question about the Kever? This is the Shaila. El Hachi, Kamibailin. Yesh beggar bekever. We know that the father's control only lasts up until through the Naros process, but once she becomes above the age of Naros, she's a Bogeris, she's 12 and a half, the father has no longer control. So what's the relevance whether Paka Zuchasav or not? Because the issue is, does the man in this situation, the Baal we'll call him, the onus Mefata, does he have to pay anymore? When she's a Nara, he pays the father. When she's a Bogeris, he pays her. But now that she's dead, and she's a Bulgaris Bekever, so maybe the father loses his ability, and now she's dead. Who are you paying to? And the Knas, the halacha is in Yorshin, the Yorshin do not collect Knas, so maybe he's going to be off the hook completely. So look at Rashi. Rashi, just to say that a little bit clearer than I said that, Rashi on halfway down, Upaka Av, Paku Tvias Av, so do we say that she becomes a Bulgaris in the Kever, and the father loses his ability to claim the money? And the onus mafata, the man in this situation, he's now being zocha in the money that he never paid up. He gets to keep it. Shein baldino kaim, because his baldin, the wife, the woman rather, is not alive to claim. And the father lost his zochus already, if you say pakav. The knas la mamonu, knas is not considered money. It's not going to go, even though the lach is that when a child dies and the child has no children, the child that's Yusha goes to the parents. It goes the order of Yusha's son. If there's no son, it goes to the father. So maybe the father should be inheriting her money anyways. All the zechuyos he should be inheriting in general as just a yor, not as a father of a nara, but as a yorish. So the Gemara Rashi telling us kanas is not considered money that, and you cannot collect it. Calls man kol kama dulo gavte. It's not considered mammon that passes through Yusha. Or do we say ain beggar bekever? Rashi says lafkui tvias av. Or no, the father's tvius does not get removed. It continues to last, and he does have such a claim. That's the Shaila Rava asked. Nothing to do with the child in this situation. So what's the answer? So Amar Mar by Rav Ashi, boy lehachi. His question is, I think it's a slightly different version of the question. It was as follows. Misa osa bagris o ain osa bagris. So Shali wasn't if she ages, if she matures in the Kever, she's dead. She's not aging. She has no longer any birthdays to celebrate. What it means is maybe when the father,
She's
sorry,
outside.
maybe when she dies, that death makes her into Bagrus. Even though she's only 12 and 3 months, that Misa makes her into Bagrus somehow. And that Bagrus is going to be Paka, the father's Zechus, or no, Misa has nothing to do with Bagrus. Bagrus is about age, nothing to do with a status, a change in a physical way. Okay, so that's the Shiloh. So the Gemara answers, there's no answer. We don't know the answer to the Shiloh. What happens if she, again, it's a very short span of time that we're talking about here. It has to be when she was above the age of 12 and 12 and a half, she was Nensa and or Mefateh, and she died within those 6 months before it was collected. But the Gemara does not have an answer in this situation. So then the Gemara asks a different Shiloh. Bai minei Rava mei Abaye. Rava asks Abaye, Ba leah v'nis'arsa mahu. So what's the situation if he was Ones, it's a case of Ones here, he's Ma'anes her, and then he engages with her, they get engaged. So what's the halacha now? Does
No,
she?
they didn't get engaged.
She got engaged to somebody else?
Yes, to somebody else.
Let's see, does Rashi say that, or that's just Pashut?
That's our school said that.
Article. Okay, that's. Okay, so he's born, he's Ma'anes her. And then she's Miss Arsistam. Okay, she gets engaged to somebody else. So what's the halacha now? So what's the shaila here? Let's look at Rashi here. Is there Rashi here? I don't see Rashi here. So the question becomes, who gets the payment? Do we say that now that she's engaged, she leaves the rishus of the father?
So she got divorced and she got engaged again. That's what happened. She was.
No, I think it
No,
was
she
just
wasn't
Stam.
with
So
him now.
she was
Oh, she's
single.
in Nara,
Yeah. Nara Basula.
Nara Basula.
So now she gets. We had this situation before. If she was engaged once before and then she got divorced, Nisarsa and Niskarsha, that we discussed already. So she, according to Rabbi Kiva, we had either she keeps a kenas or the father gets a kenas in that situation. Here is the Maisa Vera, the Ones took place when she was single, so seemingly the father should get it. But before it ever gets collected, she now becomes engaged after the Maisa. So according to Rabbi Kiva, who, according to the Rabbi Kiva holds, she gets to keep it. Is she going to keep it now? Because currently, Vishas Nesina, she is engaged, she's free. Or do we go based on Shas Maisa Veir, Maisa Bia, where she was not, where she was single, in which case the father should get it. So the Gemara says, what's the answer? Mi Amarle, mi ksiv v'nasan lavi hanara asher lo arusa. So we have two psukim here. I don't have both psukim in front of me right here, but yeah, I'll go back to the other daf. It will have it. Get a chumash out here.
There you go.
Yeah, because that pasuk you just quoted, when it talks about the Maisa Vera, it calls her, qualifies her, Nar Basula Asher Lo Orasa. So it all depends, the status of Erusin depends B'Shas Maisa Avera. But when it comes to the Nesin, the payment simply says, V'nosan Ha'ish HaShokhi V'ma'ala. It does not say, as the Gemara asks, Miksa V'nosan La V'yanara Asher Lo Arusa. It doesn't talk about her status. We don't care her status B'Shas Nesina. So we all look back Shas Maisa Vera. And since Shas Maisa Vera, she was single, the father gets it, even though currently she might be engaged. That's the answer. The father gets it, not her. Ulatamech, according to your very reasoning, this line of thinking, Hav the Tanya, the Braisa says, Balel v'nisseis latzma. And the first Braisa says, same situation, but in this case, there's Bia, and then she gets married before collecting the money. This, the Pasuk says, the Braisa rather says, she gets to keep the money herself. So the same question, Miksiv v'nasan lavi anara asher lo nesua? When the Pasuk talks about giving the money to the father, does it qualify by saying only if she's not married, but if she is married, b'shas nesina, she gets to keep it? The Pasuk doesn't say that, yet we still pass in she does get to keep it. So too by Arusa, it's very possible to say if she's Arusa, b'shas nesina, maybe she should get to keep it. So Gemara says, Hachi hashta, let's understand this a little clearer now. Hasam, over there by the case of Nisuin, Hov, Bagris, Motzi, Mishas Av, Vinisuin, Motzi, Mishas Av. So we can have a comparison. Bagris, we know when she reaches the age of 12 and a half, she is removed from the property of her father, the ownership of her father. So too, when she gets married, she's completely divorced from her father. So now that we have such an equation, ma bagris ba'ale o bagra latzma, afnesun ba'ale v'nasus latzma. So too, just like, rather, if he's born her, and then she becomes a bogeris, afterwards, she keeps it for herself. We do go based on shas nesina by bagris. So too by nesuin, if we should go based on shas nesina, if she's married, she's no longer in the rishus of the father. So, but ella, when it comes to erisin, in contrast to that, when a woman gets engaged, is she going to be completely removed from the father's possession? Certainly not, because we have a Mishnah, the Tehadatanan. The Mishnah tells us, this is a Mishnah in Nedarim, I think, I assume Nedarim, that Nara Hamurasa, a woman who's engaged, Avia Ubaila Mifirla Nidareha. You need the partnership of both the father and the husband, the engaged husband, the chasan, to both be made for any nidarm. So you see there that the father still, there's still strings attached to the father, even when she's engaged. So again, I understand by Nisun and Bagris, they both leave the rishus of the father. So Shas Nesina, she gets to keep it. By Erisin, there's still the father still holding on a little bit. So Bishas Nesina, the father's still going to collect. Or it might be, we're not sure. I think this seems to say at the end, he might still have connect. He might still have strings attached, in which he definitely has strings attached. But the question might be, is that enough to accept the Nesina payment, or does she get to keep it? I'm not sure if the Gemara seems to conclude here.
Seems also conclude.
Yeah? That he definitely gets to keep the money?
When?
In the case of Erisin. If it's Bala Vinis Arsa, that's how the article concludes.
רק נישואין ניתן להשוות לבגרות שיוציאו את העבדון של דבי לגמרי, ומילא תיפקע זכות האב בכנסה. אבל אירוסין אין להשוות לבגרות, ולכן כנסה נשאר לאביה, כדברי הבעיה.
אוקיי. פיין. אוקיי, now the new mission. The mission tells us that המפתה נוסן שלושה דבר ואונס מארבע. Kemsa Mefata pays three things, and it comes to an onus, he pays four things. What are they? HaMefata knows in Boshes Pagam Beknas. The Mefata pays the embarrassment that she undergoes, the Pagam that she's blemished, if you will, and she's no longer Basula. And he pays the Knas, the penalty that the Torah tells us to pay. Most of our love onus, onus has to pay an additional payment. She knows in a tsar, the pain that she undergoes. We'll explain what the tsar is. Then the Mishnah says there's another distinction. This seems somewhat repetitive. I'm not sure why the Mishnah does this. Mishnah often doesn't use extra words, but the Mishnah tells us, so what's the difference? It's a pretty easy equation. The difference is that the onus pays the tsar and the mefata doesn't pay tsar. And I don't think the Gemara even addresses why they have this extra line here. But not very like the Gemara, the Mishnah, to do this. And then another difference is, ha'onus nosin miyad, the onus has to pay right away. The mefata, only when he gets divorced does he have to pay. The Gemara is going to explain that. Ha'ones shose batitzo. The onus has to drink his cup. Rashi explains this means that the shose batitzo, the last two lines of the page, he chose which glass, if you will, to drink from. So he is stuck with that glass. We force him to get married to this lady that was he was nensa. Because that's what he chose. That's a pasuk. He's not allowed to divorce. He can't tender off. Hamefata, however, imrotz lehotzi motzi. The mefata has the option to stay married to her or not get married to her.
So meaning the mefata must marry her too.
No,
then
the mefata has the option because it was done willingly, but he may have convinced her a little bit, but she did it willingly. It was no force. Onus has to stay married. Has to marry her.
So the mefata lechatchila doesn't have to get married.
Correct. Ketzad, how is this? Ketad shows about it doesn't mean he drinks his cup that he chose. I feel he chigaras, even if she's missing a limb, a leg. I feel he suma, even if she's blind. I feel he mukas shchini, might be full of boils and other things that might not be so attractive. That's what he chose, and then he's forced to stay married to her and an iser to divorce her. Nimsa eini rasha lekai insa nimsa badaver erva oshen aroy la vol b'Yisrael. If, so, however, in terms of her status, she's a mamzer, or she's a sister, other dava erva that he's not allowed to marry, then ainu rasha lekaima, then he's not allowed to marry her. Shenemar velosia leisha, meaning isha haruya lo. He's only allowed to stay married to her if she's someone who's permitted halachically to him. So that's the Mishnah. So Gemara says tsar demai. We said the difference between onus and mefata is that the onus pays tsar, but mefata does not pay tsar. So what tsar is going on here? Amar Avuah de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel explains, tsar shechavta al gabi karka. The fact that he threw her down on the ground, that's the tsar that she has received, and you have to pay the value of that tsar. Maskevla Rav Zera elamiata chavta al gabi shirayin hachanami de pater. Let's say you throw her down on a bed or a cloth or something that's more comfortable, so then she would be pater. He would be pater for being tsar. If you're going to say, yeah, he would be pater. So, v'hatanya, but doesn't Rabbi Shimon own Ben Yehuda Omer, Mishim Rabbi Shimon, ones eino mishalim es atzar. He argues and says, no, an ones doesn't pay the tsar. Why? Because if there's no tsar now, there's going to be tsar later on with her husband. And is there going to be tsar? And Rashi's top line says, in the end of the day, she's going to go through tsar. So all he did was just bring the tsar in earlier. So what tsar are we referring to? Well, it can't be. If the tsar means being thrown on the ground, who? Is the husband going to throw on the ground? Certainly not. So the tsar that we're discussing can't be. Chivud karka.
Depends on the marriage.
Depends on the marriage, okay? Chaval. So it says the Gemara, Amrulo, Eino Dome Linivas Bonus Nivas Baratzan. The response to Rabbi, who is this? Rabbi Yehuda ben Shimon, wasn't it? The response to him, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, is that no, the tsar is, it's more like a mental, an emotional thing, that onus, it's eino different, eino dome, nivelas bonus by force, and onus spiratum, obviously, then nivelas spiratum. And that's the tsar that the Chacham respond to. But the tsar that we're talking about, for some reason the Gemara doesn't like that answer of the Chacham, but this Gemara at least, this Brice at least, throws out the possibility that it cannot be the tsar of Chibud Karka. That's not an option. So what is the tsar that we're referring to? So Ella Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua Tsar Shel Pisuk Haraglayim. So V'chein Homer V'tifsake Es Raglecha L'cha Over. The opening up of the legs, which might be somewhat of a mashal, just the beginning process of Bia. Rashi doesn't really explain this, but I think it's Haschalas Bia. That initial tsar of Haschalas Bia. That's what Rabba says. So Gemara says, Yehachi, that's the case. Mefutinami. So even by Mefutis, there's going to be the initial, the Bia Rishona, Haschalas Bia Rishona, which is also going to be somewhat of tsar. So the Rashi doesn't explain. I don't know if it's a tsar, if it's an emotional tsar, just that, or if it's a physical tsar. I imagine it has to be physical, but I'm not sure. The Masifta writes here, "Betchilas bia." That's how he defines pisak reglaim.
If you ask me, she needs to pay him. Do her a favor.
Okay.
And then, you know, she was going to be tsar on tachat bala anyway.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if you would say that.
So there are Tosas here for a second. Okay, so again, I imagine it's a physical tsar that we're referring to here. But initially, the Gemara thinks that the tsar is a tsar shel pisuk reglaim, and the Gemara says that should also apply to a tsar pisuk reglaim to mefuta as well. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua. Let me give you a mashal. Mashal de mefuta, lemad davar domer. What's a case of mefuta similar to where it's not going to be tsar? Laadam shamar lechaveiro kara shirayim shali vifater. It's like a person says, "Come tear my clothing for me, and you'll be exempt. You're doing me a favor." That's basically what you're saying. So do me a favor, rip my shirt. I don't like the shirt. Rip it for me. No, going to be pater. So the mefata says, "Come tear open my shirt, if you will." That's a mashal, and I'm going to exempt you from doing it. She wants that, either because of the hana that she receives, or perhaps maybe the gemara in the beginning of Subis that she's now a kli, a royal iskabel now. Yeah, mefuta. Yeah. So the reason the svar might be why is she willing to do this? Why is she willing to exempt him? Either because the hana that she receives is going to override the initial tsar, or maybe because, I don't know, I'm just suggesting, maybe because the Gemara, beginning of Maseches Ketubos tells us that Bia Rishona makes her into a kli, haro l'iskabel, she can now become pregnant, which is what all women want to do. So maybe that's why she's willing to undergo this tsar initially to become a kli haro l'iskabel. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Sheli? This is my shirt. It's her option. This is her choice. This is her father. So at her age, it's all her father. She has no say in the matter to allow herself, if you will, to be torn. So that can't be the tsar that we're referring to, because with Mefuta, she has no right to give up that tsar. So Ella, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Barvua, Pirkas Shebehen Omer Mefuta Ein Latsar. So the wise women apparently say that there's no tsar by mafuta. That's what they say. She doesn't feel any tsar. So I think we're going back to say it is about pisik raglaim. It is about that haschalas bia, but they don't feel it. So v'halka chazin is yisle, but don't we see that they do go through some pain? The initial pisik raglaim, there's pain. So how could they claim that there's no pain? So the Gemara says, Amar Abai, Amar Li, Aim, my mother said, and they point out that it can't be his actual mother. Rashi says, Amar Li, Aim, Uma, Naso, Ehayusa, can't be his actual mother because he was a Yasom. It refers to the woman who had raised him. So what did she tell him? So Amar Li, Aim, my mother, stepmother, said to me, Kimaya Chamima Areshe de Karcha, like hot water on a bald spot. So I'm not really getting much here in the Rashi doesn't explain what that means, but the Masifta explains that the mashal is that the hot water that is pours down on a bald head, that there's no hair, there is the hot water doesn't cause pain, rather it's relief. It's some type of tainuk shurichita. Say so too that the mafuta, yes, initially might be hot, there's initial pain, but the hana overrides the pain. That's in essence what they're saying. So they don't acknowledge it. It's I guess kind of like maybe what goes on ask a woman who gives birth, but the pain they go through tsar of the of tsar leda, that is usually wiped out, I think, by the simcha of having children, and that's forgotten.
Not that moment.
No, not that moment. No, not no. Sir Joseph, but you ask them perhaps after the fact, they'll obviously painful, but they rather have the child than they would have the they're willing to take the pain of tsar leda to have the child. So here it goes. So they're willing to take the tsar gidol pisik reglayim in order to have either the hana or the ability to have children.
Today the tsar is different because there's a schuyot, the women's rights, which you violate with honest. At the time there was such a thing. So mamas, you can ask, what is the tsar? That's what mentally. That how dare you? At the time it wasn't such a avamina.
Okay, it's possible. So that's the mashal that Abai says. Rava Amar Amri Li Bas Rav Chista, the daughter of Chista, who was Rava's wife, told him Ki Rivda de Kusilta. So what's this mashal here? It Rivda is Nikur. It's to like remove Kusilta. Rashi says a Kli Uman Makiz. It's referring to a bloodletting utensil, a shot of some sort of injection.
Like the sting of a
right. A little pinch, a little prick. And then Rapapa Amar Amrile Bas Abba, the Bas Abba, which I imagine was Rapapa's wife as well. Wife of Rapapa. She said, Sura Kinama Akushi Bichinchi. So it's like Kelechem, Rashi, Kelechem Kasha Shigor Esachich. Like using hard bread, maybe like crackers, crackers to clean out the teeth. So that doesn't seem painful at all. But maybe I guess you're using a toothbrush.
Meaning it's not good, it's not fresh, but it's causing you some pleasure.
No, but I'm saying that the other one's a situation, there's some level of pain, but then the hana overrode the pain. Where's the pain here by the crackers? It's
the pain mushroom to
swallowing.
Swallowing,
yeah, it hurts your mouth when you're chewing it a little bit, but then when it gets softer, then you get the taste, then it feels good.
Well, I guess it must be really, really hard then, or the teeth are really, really weak.
It says the palate, that's what it's really.
When you take something crack, I've had that before. You have like a corn chip or something, a taco, and you bite it the wrong way, and like the sharp end goes in your palate. That does hurt. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. It's interesting, yeah?
That's only all by Masata, but we're saying by.
Onus is the Hana. There's no Hana there.
There's no Hana. It's just. Sorry.
Right. It's interesting here that I've heard Shirim from Rabbanim talk about. Different situations relate to Hilchas Nida. One thing they ask oftentimes is Hargasha. One of the elements of becoming a Nida is that you have to have a Hargasha. There's a certain sensation, a certain feeling of Nida. So I've heard Rabbanim give shahs. They always ask like their wife, what kind of feeling it is. And every Rebbeinu says, there's no Hargasha. We don't feel Hargashas anymore. The same thing here also. They're trying to figure out exactly how men obviously don't know what's going on. So they look to their wife, or in some cases their stepmother, to find out what exactly the situation is. Remember when I first heard it, when the Rav said, I was much younger, I'm like, why are you asking your wife? It doesn't make sense to me. You're a Rav, you're supposed to know the halachas. But no, you don't know what the metzias is until you find out what the metzias is. So that's what they find here in the Gemara as well, that they spoke to their wives about this. Okay, the Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Ha'ones nosin miyad mafata l'chashiyotzi. So the halacha was that the ones gives the payments right away, and the mafata l'chashiyotzi, when he gets divorced from her. So So Gemara says the chashyotzi isho. What do you mean when he leaves her, when he divorces her? They're married. So what do you mean when they eventually get divorced? They're not going to get divorced. They're married. So, made the questions different actually. Look, Rashi is right. Ishohi v'chi ishohi kvar dekarmi l'chshiyotzi. They're not married yet. They're allowed to get married. They don't have to get married. But what do you mean when they get divorced? They're not even married yet. So the Gemara tweaks it a bit. Amar bai ema l'chshelo yichnos. If they decide not to get married, either him or her, they decide not to get married, then he pays it. But if they decide to get married, so then there's no payment necessary because they are partnerships. So the Gemara says Tanya nami hachi. The Brisa says the same idea. Afal pisha amru hamifatinosin l'chshelo yichnos. Here clearly it says, even though it says that the Mefateh gives the payment to her if they decide not to get married, Boshes u'Pagam nosim yad. So remember, there are three types of payments. There's Boshes, Pagam, and then there was the Knas. So Boshes, Pagam, the embarrassment that she receives, and the Pagam, that she's blemished, that has to be paid right away. The Knas, he doesn't have to pay unless they decide not to get married. Ve'echad ha'ones ve'echad Mefateh, bein hi, bein avia, yecholun akif. When it comes to both situations, for onus and mafata, either she or even the father could say, I don't want this marriage to go through. So even though by the onus case, he's not allowed to make a decision, the Baal cannot decide, she or the father can opt out. As opposed to the mafata case, all three parties have a say. Both the husband, both the wife, or potential husband, the potential wife, and the father all have a say. So Gemara says, how do you know this to be true? How do you know it's true that in all these situations, they have options? Bishma mafuta. I understand the case of mafuta. K'siv im ma'ayin yimayin aviha. If the father refuses to let her get married to this man, so he's allowed to refuse. So we see the father has a right. Ainli ela aviha. I only know that the father has such a right. He atzma minayin. How do I know that she also can opt out of this marriage? Tamar lomer yimayin mikomakom. It says ma'ayin yimayin, a double lashon. Why the double lashon yimayin? From any end that she also, even without the father, she also has the ability to opt out of this marriage. Ela. Onus, when it comes to onus, Bishma, I understand that she has an option not to get married, k'siv v'lo siya, and to him she should be. Midaita has to be willingly, so if she decides not to, so then there's no marriage. Ella, via minol, and how we know the father also has a right to prevent this marriage from going through? So Amar Bai says, Shaloi he chote niskar, it's a svara. Nothing, there's no possible. There's a svara. We don't want the chote to get rewarded. He's going to ma'anis this lady and go off and not have any responsibilities. We don't want him to get rewarded, so you stick with what the cliche shows this mimena, and you have to stay married, and this is your responsibility. So, no, other way around, probably. We're trying to say why he's not allowed to. Other way around. We don't want him to get rewarded. So we don't want him to get chote, and also get to marry her as well. So therefore, the father is able to step in and say, you cannot marry her. We're not rewarding you with her marriage. Rav Amar, Rav says, no, it's a kal v'chomer. Rav Amar, kal v'chomer, ma mifate shelo avar el aldas avia bevad. When it comes to Mefata, this Baal only violated the word, the das of the father, but she was willing in this case. Yet, even though it's only the das of the father, bein hi bein avia yichol nakiv, both she and her father may prevent the marriage. Ones she'over al das avia ve'al das atma, ones which is more severe, where even she was not done, it wasn't even done willingly. Lo kol shekein, is not obvious that the father should have the ability also to prevent such a marriage? So that's Rava's understanding. Who wants to know why Rav and Abaye don't agree with each other? Rav lo amar k'Abaye. Rav doesn't say like Abaye. Again, Abaye said it was shlo yechol dinischar. So Rav didn't like that. Kaven deka mishalim knas lav chol dinischar. He's not getting rewarded. He has to pay a knas, so he's already being penalized. So we don't have to worry about him getting rewarded. He's allowed to get married because there still was a penalty that went through. So there's no need to add further prevention of schar. Abaye lo amar k'Rav. Abaye doesn't like Rav. Rava says it's a kal v'chomer, again, onus mefateh, mefateh, it's only over a das avia, yet they both have the option to prevent. So onus is over even on the das of her, so certainly the father should be able to prevent such a marriage. Abaye didn't like this, why? Mefateh di'ihu matzim akiv, avinami matzim akiv. When it comes to the mefateh himself, the man, could prevent the marriage. So we're allowing more people to get involved in terms of the ikuva, so we should also allow the father to prevent the marriage from going through. But onus dihilo matzimaki, but in the onus, he does not have the right. He has to get married. So avyanami lamatzi makiv, so too, the father shouldn't have the right either to prevent the marriage, and only she has such a right. That's why Abai had to choose the svara of shlo yechod niska. Tani idach, there's yet another brisa that says afa pisha amru onis nosim miyad, even though the onis has to pay everything right away, kishiyotzi hu ein la alav klum. So when they get divorced, he has and she has no claim on him. Gemara says mikshiyotzi, when they get divorced, mi matzi mafik lei. She's not allowed. They can't get divorced. The pasuk says lo shalcha meot me. What's the exact pasuk? Lo shachal lo. Right. You can't send her off. They're not allowed to get divorced. So what does the brayso mean? Lichsheyoti kshiyotzi. Then she has no claim. Ema kishetetze he ain la alav klum. When she, Rashi says kishetetze he, five lines from the bottom. Kishetetze he im yatsa meala vitava mimenu get. Yet if she on her own leaves and she wants the get from him, then she has no tainas, she can't collect anything else from him. But Mace, let's say he dies at what point? Yata Kesef, Knasa Biksuvasa. Let's say he dies after they got married. Mm-hmm. So they got married, and then he dies. So the Kesef of the Knas is removed from the Ksuba, detracted from the Ksuba, I guess, because she already got the Knas. Yeah.
Does she get a ksuba like a basula or a bula?
I'm not sure. It sounds like from the way the Sifta explains this that she doesn't get a ksuba at all, actually. The fact that she got payment in the knas, that's going to be in place of her ksuba entirely. The article have anything about this? I think so. It sounds like from here the pasuk says that she gets no ksuba at all. But Rabbi Yossi Bihuda Omer Yesh la ksuba mana. She gets a mana because she's a ba'ula, I guess. Which seems but she collected knas. I guess the knas was there to somehow fill in the fact that she was a basula, no longer basula. So b'may k'mithli, what's machlok is whether she has a ksuba or not. So Rabbanan Savri Taima Mai Takin Rabbanan Ksuba. What was the reason why Rabbanan instituted Ksuba in the first place? The whole reason, the whole institution of Ksuba, assuming Ksuba is not derisive, Ksuba is derisa, which some say we see that already in Ksubas. If it's Ksuba is derisa, then there's nothing to talk about. You have to have a Ksuba, it sounds like. But if you think Ksuba is derabanan, what was the whole motivation for it? In order that she should be used as viewed as a piece of meat, just like to marry her and divorce her. Realize that if you divorce her, there's a penalty you have to pay. You have to pay a certain amount, so he'll show her some respect. But in this case, he's not allowed to divorce her anyways. It's a derisa to divorce her, so there's no need for ksuba in this case. No, because he's going to annoy her and bother her until she says, I can't handle it anymore, and basically twist her arm to say, I want out of this marriage. So even then, he's going to have the upper hand and abuse her. So there is going to be a ksuba. Realize that if you divorce her, if you convince her to divorce you, and you end up divorcing her, you're going to have payment. So if Yosef Yehuda agrees in Svara to Rabbanan that the whole purpose of ksuba was shalote kalbeinav, the question is whether he's going to go to such extremes to force her to want to opt out. Okay, we have time. Do you want to go back to that Tosos, by the way? Let's go back to that Tosos. If anyone wants, you don't have to, but I want to look at that Tosos in the beginning of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. The Tosos on the top was talking about Shalosh Nashim Mishamshas B'moch. The case was that there are three women who are allowed to use a moch. Now, Rashi explained, Tosos rather quotes from Rashi, Pesh B'Kuntris, Mutaros L'Shamish B'moch, Avagav D'Shar Nashim Asuros Mishum HaShchas Zera. So these three women are permitted to use a moch, even though everyone else, all other women are also because HaShchas Zera. By the way, this sounds different than Rashi on the side we had just saw earlier. But from this quotation of Rashi, moch is also because hashchas zera. They near the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't agree to this. D'ha ketana v'ailonis muti l'shamish b'adayu l'havi hashchas zera. A ketana v'ailonis are allowed to use. Oh, sorry. You can have tashmish with them, and there's no issue of hashchas zera. Came into derech tashmish. So it's a shaila that's not about what's happening in the end of the day, because the implication from Rashi is, the way Rashi is quoted here at least, so whenever there's a situation where a person cannot become pregnant, that's Hashchas Zera. So that means a ketana who can't become pregnant, an idleness, even a muberes, I would add, or a menikis who can't become pregnant, that would mean it's always usher to have tashmish because it's never going to amount to a Zera. It's Hashchas Zera. Certainly not. So Rabbeinu Tam therefore says It's all mutter. As long as it's derech tashmish, it's mutter. Umefarsh ben tam mishamshes tshichos l'shamish b'moch acher tashmish ve'etz tova k'mashma. We saw this earlier, right? That the moch was something, I think Rashi said this earlier, it must have been a different Rashi that he's quoting here, that the moch was there somehow after the fact to undo what was done. So, again, the morning after pill, they would call them, something similar to that, it sounds like. That's all according to Rabbeinu Tam. But it's only mutter afterwards, but to play something in beforehand would be usur. Ule ri nira l'kayim perisher kunchis. He wants to uphold the shita of Rashi, the beresh nida mashu shamoch hi b'me'a kol shah. That's what the Gemara refers to talking about certain bedikos a woman would do. And they talk about a moch there right in the beginning. So it sounds like the moch is b'me'a kol shah. It's always there in inside of her. Havi kimishamish al havanim v'al etim. And when it's there, it's being zoreh on the mishan avanim v'al etim. It's hashchas zera. Lo dami l'mishamish k'tana v'ailanus. This is very different than k'tana v'ailanus. Because there are a few different factors. When you learn the sugya of contraception, it's a very complicated sugya. One issue is it's going to be hashchas zera. One issue is, it's not hashchas zera, it's a question of whether it's going on a vanim, etim vavanim, or it's going to some other b'me'eha. Even though the me'eha may not have the ability to be kolit the zera, it's still not a problem. The only iser is if it's similar to what happened with the b'nei Yehuda and Tamar, where it was mamish on etim vavanim. If it's not like that, then it's mutter. So in the situation of a ketano, it's not etim vavanim, even though it's not able to become pregnant, that's mutter according to the shita. That's how the Ri explains a chilek within Rashi, the difference between a moch versus ketana v'ailanus. The ode, moreover, says Tosos, afilu ha'isa nosenes moch achar tashrish asura. Even playing a moch afterwards is going to be a problem. Dava pisha eina mitzuva alpiri ribya, kumakum asar hila hashchazera. What good is that? There's two different isurim. There's one mitzvah peruvu, there's another isur of hashchazera. Even she has an isur of being mashchazera. So even after the fact, she's being mashchazera, and that's a problem. And it goes on to quote this Gemara. So we see from all this, different factors to weigh in when coming to contraception. One is hashchas zera. One, number two is etzim vavanim. Number three is the mitzvah puruvu. So that's why, according to some heterim, let's say, of using birth control, to speak about some halacha for a moment, so using birth control, so the reason why she's allowed to take it on one hand is because she's not mitzvah puruvu. So no problem on her part, puruvu. That's number one. Number two is there's no issue of etzim vavanim because it's gong b'me'eha. And number three is there's no hashchas zera there either because the way the system works, it prevents somehow on her part, not on the part of the zera. And for those three factors, that's why there's a good basis for using birth control pills. The reason why others would not like birth control pills, I think Rav Moshe talks about this, is simply because the Gemara quotes the pasuk here, Shomer Pesam Hashem, that Akash Baruch Hu is going to be Mishamesh Shes V'Kidarcha V'Lechas U'min Hashemayim Yirachmo. Just rely, have a bitachon of Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything else will fall into place. And based on that svara, that bitachon, that's why I think many are against this. There might be halachic considerations also, but that's the basic summary of the sugya.
So now you can see though how when you get to birth control, that would be the best. And then when you start talking about like IUD, diaphragm, condom, you know, you can start to see how each one is now lacking in one of these areas because, you know.
Eitzim vavanim,
right.
Exactly.
Or destroying the zera as opposed to destroying her hormonal ability.
So let's say different things, IUV or those types of diaphragms, that would be etzim vavanim, but wouldn't be necessarily hashchas zera, I don't think. Hashchas zera would be there other types of things which can mamish destroy the zera. Okay, so that's, again, it's an interesting topic. Very lamaisa. All right, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.